Welcome to the Gas Street Podcast. Our vision as a church is to be light for the city.
We really hope you enjoy this message.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Great to see you. Happy Easter from myself. Everyone joining online. Hope you're well. Thanks for joining us. And just to say, we have been over this month in a series looking at our vision called Foundations. And we've been sharing over the last few weeks something of what we see God doing amongst us, some of the things we're sort of wanting to invest in, and asking each and every one of us to consider prayerfully our giving, our serving. And we set a target of £100,000 in one-off gifts and 50 new people giving regularly through standing orders or however you want to give regularly. And just to report back, so far, in terms of one-offs given or pledged, we've received £85,000, which is great. And in some ways, this that encourages me more. We've 44 people have started to give regularly. And so we're so grateful. Now, also want to say, if there are six more people to get, you know, like, then we can just tick it off as like, we got that 50. But no, if you haven't begun that journey of giving regularly as part of your discipleship, we'd love to encourage you. And of course, if you want to give £15,000 to reach that 100K total, we'd love that. That'd be brilliant. We'd be happy for you to do that. But no, thank you so much for your generosity and your giving. And again, we believe that church is not an event you turn up to on a Sunday. It's a people and a community that gather together with a vision and a mission to see light for the city, to see God's kingdom come here in Birmingham and beyond. And today we celebrate Easter. What a day, what a celebration. And throughout today, we're going to be baptizing 40 people. Which are amazing signs, of life transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. And one of the areas we're seeing God move beautifully is amongst our international community. We have a whole bunch, predominantly from Iran and some from Afghanistan, who are discovering the power of Jesus in amazing ways. And tonight, actually, we're going to be baptizing a bunch of them. But reading some of the stories of lives changed. And one lady wrote this. She said, "When I was seven, I had a major heart operation, which was very difficult for me. While I was having this operation, I had a dream which really disturbed me. I saw a frightening face before me. Until I became a Christian, I was not able to forget this. And from when I was seven, I could not sleep in peace. This dream was always in my mind. One Wednesday," that's when the international community meet, "someone said, 'We are all family here. Bring your fears and let them go.' I didn't tell anyone about my problems previously, not even my family. I talked to Marie," Marie's one of the leaders, "and told her that I couldn't sleep or work, but was always afraid this nightmare would happen again. I always felt fearful. This person prayed for me. Then I felt the peace that they always talk about in the church fill my whole being. She prayed that this fear would leave me in the name of Jesus and I would sleep in peace without fear. Now, when I close my eyes, I see Jesus and I know he's with me and the fear is gone. Knowing Jesus has given me peace and assurance. Jesus went to the cross for my sins so that I might have peace with God." Isn't that wonderful? Just one story of a life changed. And today we come to celebrate Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the risen Lord, the one who has overcome the power of sin and death, the one who will lead us into everlasting life. Someone once said that the best story wins. Whoever has the best story wins. Well, let me tell you, the people of God, we have the very best story. It's a story that is remarkable, that through centuries is being told again and again and again. It's a story of a people who were dead to their sins, lost, broken, dislocated, fractured, but who received in Jesus Christ forgiveness of sins. Through Jesus, we've been ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. And we need to understand that this story we're in isn't about, Christianity isn't about making bad people good. I think often in the West, we've reduced Christianity to some kind of moral code. It's about behavior. Christianity is much more radical than that. Christianity is about dead people being made alive. We all have the most extraordinary testimony. We were dead in our sins, but because of Jesus, we are now alive and will live forever. And that's why today we get excited. Why today we celebrate that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave that we're reading about today lives in each and every one of us, lives in you, lives in me, is here today. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever is surrounding you, there is hope because resurrected power is at work in us today. I want to take a moment just to remind us of the stunning story we're caught up in. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Luke 24, verse 1. It's going to come up on the screen if that's easier for you. It says this, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Luke is wanting to make a very clear point here. We have just journeyed through Jesus' arrest, trial, his crucifixion, this devastating account where Jesus is deserted by his friends and followers. Jesus is humiliated, stripped naked, beaten, tortured, and nailed to a cross. Jesus breathes his last, dies, and his dead body is laid in a tomb. And as his body is laid in that tomb, all the dreams, all the hopes of his people, his followers, his disciples are crushed. Everything that they hoped and believed he would be seemed to die with Jesus on that day. But Luke starts this passage by saying, on the first day. He's wanting us to understand that something truly extraordinary has just happened. He wants us to understand that this is now a new day. It's a new beginning. Everything has changed because that grave is empty and Jesus Christ is alive. He wants us to know, get ready. Extraordinary things are happening now because this is a day that will change the universe and humanity forever. On the first day. One of my favorite preachers is a guy called S.M. Lockridge, an African-American preacher who sadly died now, but he's delivered two of my all-time favorite sermons, but one of them he preached on Easter. It's called "It's Friday, but Sunday's Coming." And I wish I could preach with just an ounce of his panache and style and passion and authority, but I'm going to read some of the words from this amazing sermon. He preaches this. He says, "It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying, but they don't know. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns, but they don't know. Sunday is coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The world is winning. People are sinning. Evil is grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nail my Savior's hands to the cross. They nail my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raise him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday is coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. It's Friday, the earth trembles, the sky grows dark, my King yields his spirit. It's Friday, hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered, and Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier guards and stands by the tomb, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It's only Friday. Sunday is coming. And then I imagine the church went absolutely wild, because what he preached is the Easter message. What Luke in this gospel is trying to say, we've journeyed through the crucifixion, we sat in the silence and desolation of Holy Saturday, but today it's a new day. On the first day, we begin to celebrate what we thought was lost was actually our greatest victory. And if SM Lockridge preached, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Today, I want to continue that message to tell you this, it's Sunday. And Jesus is coming. He's returning. He's coming. And he's going to restore all things. He's going to right every wrong. He's going to come in perfect justice to restore this broken world. He's going to come and he's going to lead us into everlasting peace. There is a day where we will stand before our Maker face to face. There'll be no more sin, no more death, no more suffering, because Jesus is coming. His word says in Revelation, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. It's Sunday, and the good news is Jesus is coming and returning. And that's why there's so much hope here. In this story, we read about these two women. In Mark's gospel, they're named as Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome. And they go to the tomb early on that first morning, and they fully expecting to find a dead body. They're taking spices to anoint Jesus' body. And they must have been walking to that tomb fearful, heartbroken, devastated, and confused. But when they get there, they must have been shocked to find that the stone guarding the body of Jesus has been rolled away. And so with intrigue, they step into this tomb, and to their shock and horror, Jesus' body is gone. They must have been thinking, who's stolen his body? What on earth has happened? Can anything get any worse? And then they encounter these two men dressed in white clothes that gleamed like lightning. And these two angels stand before them and they ask this powerful question. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? There's a gentle rebuke now. The angels say, he's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. You see, Jesus had told the disciples, he told his followers what was going to happen, that he would be crucified, that he would die, but that he would be raised to life again. And in that, death and sin would be conquered. But the story was too extraordinary, too unbelievable for the followers of Christ to believe it. If Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, as he claimed to be, then it made no sense that he'd be crucified on a sinner's cross. It was such a far-fetched story. No one could believe it. But now in this moment, in this empty tomb, in this place of death, suddenly the reality is beginning to grab hold of Mary and Mary's minds and hearts. And I imagine them, whoa. Whoa, is it true? Perhaps everything Jesus said, everything he promised that we thought had died with him in this tomb on that cross is real. He is the Messiah. He is the one who will lead us into everlasting life. He is the one who has the power to defeat Roman oppression and ultimately death, and suddenly hope, life is surging through their beings. See, Mary and Mary turned up at a tomb expecting death, and they were confronted with the question, why are you looking for the living among the dead? It's a question that's pertinent for us today. Because the truth is, all of humanity is looking for life. We're all looking for hope, purpose, a sense of meaning in this complicated, beautiful, messy world. But the tragedy is so many people are looking in the wrong places. You're looking for life, but you're looking in a place of death. And the life you're looking for will never be found there. Some of you, you're looking for life in money and possessions, in resources that you think will build security, and there's no ultimate life there. Some of you, you're looking for life in your career, in a sense of power and influence, success. Some of you are looking for life in moments of bliss, travel, moments of luxury, extravagance, and you have these momentary highs, but you're left with the crushing, lonely, aching feeling. Some of you are looking for life in relationships, in sexual fulfillment. It was G.K. Chesterton who once said, "Every man who knocks on the door of a brothel is looking for God." There are some here today, you are looking for life. And I'm here today to tell you, you can find it. But you will not find it in the places that the world suggests you can find it. The perfect body, the perfect life, the perfect relationships, the perfect house, the perfect holidays. None of that will satisfy. Life is found in a person. And this person is here today. And his name is Jesus Christ. But you're looking among the dead. I want to show you a video, a story of a friend of mine, Dan, who shares something of his journey to discover this life in Jesus Christ. Let's watch this together.
So it all started around June 22. Just finished my brother's wedding. Went down to the Cotswolds for the weekend. And woke up to a barrage of messages because I had no signal. I knew something weren't quite right when I noticed police on my phone and messages from my uncle. So I picked up the phone, rang my uncle, who I hadn't spoke to for years, and just found out that my dad had died in a car crash that night. Yeah, and then it hit me like a ton of bricks. Didn't really know how to take the news. It just felt like the floodgates of the past opened up. Everything that I hadn't covered off with my dad just all came to the forefront of my mind. You know, all the years of neglect, all the years of abuse, all the years of not knowing where he is or what he's doing, just everything just come rushing back. But I didn't process anything. And after months of seeking help, speaking to my GP, talking to doctors, nothing really worked. And I just felt like I'm not destined to get through this. I convinced myself the only way to stop this would be just to end my life, and it would be an easy win for everyone around me. On December 19th, I decided to take that route, and I was convinced that it would work. I spent Christmas in hospital, you know, and it was heart-wrenching to do FaceTime with my family, you know, and to try and keep it together and to try and remain positive when inside I was dying. I started to go back to work around Feb 23. I bumped into an old friend of mine who I hadn't seen for 12 years. I saw him walking through my business, and we ended up having a bit of a chat. Took him in my office and, you know, got him a coffee. And we started having a conversation around everything that's gone on in the past 18 months. He encouraged me to come with him to church on Sunday. I'd had zero intention when I said yes that I would actually go. I just wanted him to stop asking me, so I said yes. On the Sunday, I woke up, I looked at my phone, saw a message from him saying he can't make it. I remember lying in bed going, no, I need to go. Somebody's telling me I should go. Managed to get through the door, and as I walked in, my two children, they were five at the time, they just started screaming and crying, you know, so my wife said, let's just leave this and do it another day. But so I said, well, just give me a minute, I'll meet you in the car. You know, so she had to go back to the car. And I just sat on the back row. I just plunked myself in the back seat. I had no idea, I've never been in church in my life, what was about to go on. But it wasn't what I expected to go on. And as the worship started, I just remembered the most overwhelming sense of peace, which I didn't realise until that point that I'd been missing for 20 odd years of my life. So I felt so calm. I felt so embraced, but every word seemed to hit me as they were on the screen. It's like they're being sung directly to me. I was bawling my eyes out. So during that service, the pastor did the salvation prayer. I don't know how, but my hand just shot up. You know, if I could have jumped, I would have jumped. You know, because I genuinely felt saved. It just felt like an utter silence in my head. You know, it felt all the noise, all the chatter, all the negativity was left in the building. And I've never looked back since. I mean, I think about how life's changed since that point. My wife will be first to say she's having to get to know a whole new person. I feel like I got given my life back on that day. I've walked away with a renewed purpose in life, a renewed look on who I am, who I can be. I was watching videos of people getting baptized. I was watching these people just looking so happy. I felt like after everything I'd just been through and everything I've just encountered, there was a calling for me to let the past die in that water. We got to the day, and just as I went in the water, it felt like time was about to start again. As I come out the other side of that water, it felt like everything had stopped. All the pain, all the trauma, all the memories just got left in that water. It looked like I was being reborn again. So when I look back over the past year, I've noticed to walk side by side with Jesus, in whether it's personal or work, opens up a whole different mindset. I kind of put my trust in the fact that, you know what, He only wants the best for me. So whatever this outcome will be is what He wants for me. So to have that comfort, to have that peace, it's indescribable. What I always thought did make me have purpose or make me successful was what job I had, what holiday I went on, what car I drove, what house I lived in, what clothes I wore. Never really filled a hole, but you know, it definitely felt like that's what I was chasing all my life. But my purpose now is to serve others, is to commit to God. People then ask me at work why I'm so open like this, and why do I talk about it so much? And I can't help but just always say the same thing to people. If this is how it feels to be loved, truly loved, why wouldn't you tell me? Yeah, my life has been changed forever. And even in my darkest days, I now understand that I wasn't on my own. I was just lost.
Dan is here today, and thank you for sharing that story so beautifully. But a few things that just did me in. You know, Dan saying, when the opportunity to say yes to Jesus, to receive that salvation, you know, he's invited to put a hand up. But he was like, if I could have jumped up, I'd have jumped up to grab it. That's what happens when someone understands the life that is an offer in Jesus Christ. He also said, when he was getting baptized, coming out of that water, realizing that time is about to start again. Echoes of what Luke says, on the first day, this new beginning that is available for each and every one of us. I draw to a close with this. In June 1815, it was the Battle of Waterloo. It was fought between Napoleon and the French and the English, who were led by General Wellington. And it was a fierce battle with grave consequences, because if the English lost to Napoleon and the French, they would surrender, and there's fear of the ongoing advancement of the French and losing control and power to the French, being led and surrendered to the French. It was a terrifying moment. And so updates, messages were being sent from the battle to the English across the English Channel to let people know what was happening, how the battle was going on. And at the end of this battle, a message was sent. They used this light system which displayed these messages that could be sent across the English Channel. And as the message was sent, a fog descended over the English Channel. And the message suddenly said, Wellington defeated. And this sense of shock, horror, devastation swept through the English land as people began to comprehend, what does this mean for our future, for our safety? What is going to happen? A sense of fear gripped the nation. It was a while later when the fog began to lift that the real message could be understood. The true message was this: Wellington defeated Napoleon. And suddenly, tragedy was turned into triumph, and this extraordinary celebration swept throughout England. Defeat to victory. Well, on that morning, Easter morning, the disciples, Mary and Mary, as they walked towards the tomb, the message that they were carrying in their heart was this: Jesus Christ defeated. All their hopes crushed. They were devastated. But it was as they went to that tomb and discovered the stone rolled away, found that there was no body, met those angels who said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Suddenly they understood, they recognized the true message, which wasn't Jesus Christ defeated. The real message was Jesus Christ defeated death. This is the message that we now can grab hold of, this amazing truth. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The message is now no longer Jesus Christ defeated. It's Jesus Christ defeated sin. Every mistake we've done, every wrong, every bad choice that's hurt others, hurt ourselves, created a mess, we can be confident that as far as the east is from the west, that is as far as he's removed our transgressions from us. The message is now Jesus Christ has defeated sin, so we can be free, confident that the blood of Jesus has washed us white as snow. The message is no longer Jesus Christ defeated, but it's this: Jesus Christ defeated evil. The power of Satan, the schemes of the evil one to hold us back, to rob, steal, and destroy have been overcome. Addictions no longer need to hold us back. Fears no longer need to keep us down. Chains have been broken and loosened. Why? Because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. The message is Jesus Christ defeated sin, evil, and ultimately death. And that's why today is such good news. In a moment, as the band come up, I'm going to give an opportunity for people here who've never received this love, who've never said yes to following Jesus Christ, to respond, to say yes, to take a step towards this invitation of receiving life in all its fullness in Christ. Some of you here, you're looking for life in the wrong places. You thought you could find it in your career, in that relationship. But I'm here to tell you, life is found in Jesus Christ. And there's an opportunity for you today, maybe for the first time, maybe some of you prayed this years ago, but you've drifted away from God. The best decision you'll ever make is following Jesus Christ, receiving life in him. And then for others, there's a moment where perhaps you've turned up to church today and you were expecting to walk in to an empty tomb, to find a dead body. There's no hope. It's just despair. You're just broken. Life has been knocking you back and any sense of expectation is gone. And if you're honest, you're just not even sure you believe anymore. You don't see the power of Jesus and his Spirit at work in your life. Again, I want to pray, and we're going to pray in a moment, that by the Spirit of God, he can bring new life to you. Hope can rise up again. Those who are maybe like Dan, considering the only way out is death, is suicide. Please, please, let me tell you this: Jesus Christ is enough. When you follow Jesus, it's not like all your problems vanish away. But he promises to be with you. As Dan said beautifully, in my darkest days, I understood I wasn't alone. I was just lost. You need to know you're not alone. Jesus can give you everything you need to face that depression, to face that financial situation, to face that broken, complex relationship, to face that diagnosis. And for some of you today, you need to understand that you're lost, but there's an opportunity to come home to Jesus. Come home to Jesus.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out.
If you want to find out more, visit our website, gastreet.org, or follow us on Instagram at gastreetchurch.